Coming up on today's show, we're going to cover the latest news and rumors. We're going to try to sneak a little bit of John's plans out of him for his upcoming Disney trip. That's all coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome everyone to Traveling with the Mouse for episode 293 for Friday, November the 20th, 2020. We are getting very close to Thanksgiving, which means we're getting close to Christmas, which means we're getting very close to the end of 2020.
Yay!
Yay! Woo! But before we do that, we have a lot of shows to go. We've got a lot of fun to have. I am your host, Jason, and I am joined by my esteemed co-hosts. Today, we have Adam.
What's up, everybody?
Hi, Adam.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
And Hola. We have John.
Can you hear that? Can you hear it?
Hear what?
I mean, it's kind of hard to tell. It's the sound of the Skyliner.
Okay. Yeah. Are the vents open? Because if they were, you'd hear...
Hey, dang. Okay, calm down.
Sorry.
Calm down.
How do you make the sound of a door falling off the monorail?
Ding, dun, that's probably what it would be. Please stand clear of the...
If you're on the ground, please stand clear of the door.
Right. If you're standing under the monorail beam, please stand clear of the door. Somebody had a birthday this week. I just wanted to point that out. Our wonderful inspiration for this podcast, Mickey Mouse.
Oh, his birthday was the 18th.
Oh, that's right. Yours was this week too.
That was one day before Mickey's.
That's right.
Are you? So you're one day older than Mickey?
Well,
are you 93?
I'm gonna say one day and 50
years younger.
Somewhere.
Yeah. So, Mickey is 92 now.
92. Happy birthday to Mickey.
Oh, wait. No, we're exactly 50 years apart because it was 1928 when Steamboat Willie, right? So, yeah, we're exactly 50 years. Yeah, 50 years younger than Mickey.
Yeah.
Look at that.
He looks good for his age.
He does. Yeah, he
really does.
He actually seems like he's improving over time.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, we always like to start our episodes by asking that eternal question. Is anyone going to Disney World this week?
Well, as I mentioned, I'm already here. I mean, I'm doing this episode from the Skyliner. I mean,
oh, that's right. That's right. Are you going to do another Grandestino recording like you did, a year or so ago?
Yeah, you're probably not hearing near as much noise this
Where's
time.
Where's that little...
Yeah, right. You should be hearing that by now, right?
Yeah.
So give us the details, John. Where are you staying?
That would be Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort.
Ooh, that is a prime location for taking the Disney Skyliner.
Is the Caribbean Beach Resort near the Caribbean Beach Resort?
Yeah, it's very close. They're the same.
Oh, okay.
How close is the Caribbean to the French Riviera? I'm just trying to understand geographically how close
it's
those are.
Within walking distance.
Well, it depends on what world you're in.
Yeah. In the Disney world, you just walk around a pond and you're there.
Right. It depends on what part of the Caribbean you're in. And one side you can literally walk to it, and one side you can take a Skyliner ride to it. So
right. Gotcha. Okay, so you're staying at Caribbean Beach for the Skyliner access. How many park days do you have scheduled?
I do have 3 reservations. Okay. So I have Epcot on Saturday and have Magic Kingdom on Sunday, and Monday we'll wrap things up with the studios.
Do you get a full day at the studios, or is that a half a day?
Well, I don't know exactly. I plan on being there when it opens, of course, or being there to rope it just so it'll be easier to get to Runaway Railway and hopefully get a boarding group pretty easy. But I may have, the way things are going now, I guess I can get a boarding group while I'm still in bed, right?
Right. There. So, get that. Yeah. Well, you have to.
I'd say you're going to have to, yeah.
Yeah.
So set that alarm clock for, what, 6:58? Maybe a few minutes before that.
I'll probably be up by then anyway. Odds are.
Just be looking. That might dictate how long you have to be there. So, okay. So, no Animal Kingdom. So, we're going to... It doesn't sound like any of us have any more trips planned for this year, at least at the moment. So, it's going to end up that 2020, I'm going to be the only one of us that went to Animal Kingdom.
It appears that way, yeah.
For the entire year. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it appears that way. Well, I mean... If I were going to be staying longer, I mean, since I can't park up.
Right. I was there at the very end of 2019, like a couple of days before New Year's, but...
Yeah, you almost died there. I remember that.
Yeah, that is true.
You almost died at Animal Kingdom?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he went there on... He drove all night. He didn't sleep.
I was sick. Could have had COVID. I don't know. Possible.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. COVID's birthday was this week too. The first confirmed case was November 17th of 2019.
Are you kidding? Wait. The first confirmed case was on my birthday.
They traced it back to the first time they could find a confirmed case was November 17th. Wow. So it's COVID's birthday.
Wow.
So
my birthday just has all kinds of great significance. COVID-19. Jim Jones has followers drinking the Kool-Aid was on the day I was born.
Yeah.
All uppers happen on my birthday, apparently.
Well, before we dive into the news, a couple of more housekeeping things. Number one, did you watch Mandalorian this week?
Yes.
Of course.
Did you have any eggs for breakfast this week?
Yes. A time or two.
Yeah. Not any endangered species eggs, but I did have some eggs.
Yeah, I didn't have any frog eggs.
You know, spoiler alert for those who haven't watched it, skip the next couple of seconds, but this whole episode, you thought for sure the child was going to eat those eggs right in front of his parents.
I know. That was just like, okay, you're going to leave the child there and we're going to come back and the whole family's dead. Like, that was terrible. But anyway.
I've never eaten an egg in front of a chicken, so, I mean, I don't...
Right. That's basically the same thing.
But again, it's unfertilized. So, like I said, it's like eating a chicken egg. He was just hungry. He's only 50 years old. He doesn't know any better.
He doesn't know any better. He's only 50. The other non Walt Disney World news to cover is there was some good news in the COVID world this week.
Lots of
Two companies have highly effective vaccines. And as the time of this recording, at least the Pfizer folks have come out and said that there has been no, significant side effects, and they are going to apply for certification to start distribution, emergency use authorization. So there's a large distribution problem, but 95% effectiveness on these vaccines is way more than any of us could have hoped.
Right.
And there's some studies, one of them, if you want to look it up, the New York Times talks about this, that indicates that antibodies last much longer than we had hoped, maybe for months or years or forever. So all good news for maybe this ending in the next 6 to 12 months.
Right. Because as of right now, it looks like Disneyland will be closed for at least a full year, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it went back to purple.
Yeah.
It's out of control over there, so yeah.
So we probably won't see Disneyland for an entire year. That's crazy to think about, the fact that it's that long been closed. So
what will it look like when it reopens? I'm so glad I got to see it.
Yeah, literally like a couple of weeks before it closed. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, my last visit there was 2012, and it was fun. It was weird because we went in July. And so we left like 100 degrees and like 100% humidity here in Georgia. And then when we got off the plane, it was like, whoa, this is like fall or early spring or something.
Yeah.
That's how it feels there, like
all the time. Yeah.
I think the last time I was there was actually Mickey's birthday in 2017. I think it was. Really? So.
Yeah. 2012 was me. So, yeah.
There's basically two weather forecasts. It's either perfect weather or fire. And Unfortunately, we've had more fire than anything else recently because of, you know, climate change things. But speaking of Disneyland, that's our first topic. They are back to the purple tier, and this has caused some snafus in some of the reopenings they have been talking about. So they are planning on opening Disney's California Adventure, not the park, but just the shopping.
Right.
But at the same time, they're going up to purple, which means capacity has to be reduced, and they've had to reduce capacity at Downtown Disney. Indoor dining has been suspended. And so I'm wondering if this is going to have them needing to pump the brakes on some of that.
It's interesting for sure. It's kind of hard to tell when it comes to California. I feel like they'll probably try to go ahead as normal, as planned. But what will the government say is the question.
Right.
Right. So
they've got pretty strict guidelines. It's 25% capacity in those shops, which there's been some crazy lines to get into Downtown Disney.
Yeah, I can imagine.
In addition to that opening, they also announced that they are going to reopen the Grand Californian Hotel, but there will be no dining, no shopping, and only one pool open.
Hmm.
And of course, there's no parks to go to. So
right.
Interesting with just the one pool. You would think having both of them open would be better.
They have to for staff spreading both out. Of them.
Yeah, well, other than that.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm assuming this is when it reopens is going to be about as crowded as the Disney World hotels were when they reopened.
But if they have
and there
to
was
staff,
no park open.
Yeah. If they have to staff both of them, I mean, we're talking, what are they, two lifeguards per pool usually? I mean,
Disney really overdoes it on the lifeguards.
I guess I've never really seen the Grand Californian pool. Maybe it's bigger than I think, but I would think usually typically two per, maybe three.
Here's what they say. The Mariposa pool and two Whirlpool spas will be open with reduced capacity. Cabanas will still be available for an additional fee, but the pool parties and water slides will not be available. Here's what else will not be available. The spa, all dining, the gift shop, in-room dining, the craft tour, the children's lobby entertainment, instructor-led fitness classes, character experiences. Also, you won't get bell services. They can deliver luggage, but that's it. No floral and gifts, no dry cleaning, no valet laundry, no shipping services, and no valet parking. So, luxury.
Yeah.
I was going to say, basically, you're saying if you want to pay big bucks or points to quarantine in California Adventure, pretty much.
Nobody's going to be paying big bucks because it will only be open to Disney Vacation Club members. They want people to get rid of their points.
Right. I was going to say, they're not going to pay any big bucks that they haven't already paid.
Right.
Yeah. But still, I mean, they paid a pretty significant amount just to get the points.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, this is for those use it or lose it points, right?
There won't be enough reason to pay lifeguards to do two pools because there's only, you know, however many guests going to be there anyway. That's probably the main reason.
Yeah, I'm going to say in Florida, they could have the water parks open if they wanted to, but it's probably not the best idea in the world.
Yeah, well, of course, it's hot there still, but.
So I was just, I decided to look at Dave's Vacation Club rentals just now and to see if anybody has a dedicated reservation they're trying to offload. But the earliest one I've seen right now is April 4th. So I don't think anybody's got any dedicated reservations they're offloading right now.
Hmm. Okay.
You talking about for Grand Californian? I would hope
not. For Grand Californian, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have thought there would be one or two, actually.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they couldn't really have put it out there all that early. Because they didn't know until just now, right? That they were going to be able to, who was going to be able to use it. So who was going to buy it? That's just my thinking.
That's a possibility. Maybe they weren't able to actually book anything until now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's Disneyland where the COVID is plentiful. Let's go across the country to where the COVID is also plentiful, to Disney World. This is what I titled this topic, this segment. Stupid people at Disney World.
Yeah. There's a lot of those, but
maybe we should make that a weekly topic because there is always going to be some of those.
That's
true. We have two great stories of stupid people at Disney World. Our first story today comes from a man. Man, 18-year-old. Okay, man is a bit pushing it. 18-year-old, yeah. Especially after his behavior. Arrested for impersonating a DEA agent and carrying a Glock replica BB gun at Disney
Springs. Glock replica?
Yeah. That's what it. That's the type of BB gun. It was a Glock replica BB gun.
Right.
Do you know, of all the places in the world that you feel the need to carry a weapon, Disney is like the last place I would ever think that that's even needed. So it just blows my mind whenever this comes up. Anyway, continue.
So this kid, were, you know, was stopped because they suspected he had a gun. And he said he was a new special agent for the DEA, produced a badge that was exactly like what you can buy off of Amazon. They asked for his phone number for a supervisor, which he couldn't provide. And they found the Glock BB gun. So now he's under a lot of, you know, a lot of prosecution.
Trouble. Yeah.
Because he impersonated an officer. He broke a lot of rules.
Right.
So not smart. But yeah. Let's see if this can be beaten. So that's story number one. Let's see who is the worst. That's story number one. Story number two, there is Florida Man. Now you already know it's going to be great because it starts with Florida Man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Florida Man is at it again. Florida Man on LSD has attacked a security guard at Disney's Animal Kingdom. So again, wow. not we go in with man here, 19-year-old from Pompano Beach was charged with battery on a security guard. It happened on October 25th when the patrol was tackled from behind. Yeah. Hmm. LSD and Animal Kingdom. Don't mix.
Was this person a guest?
Yes, they were in the park because it happened in Dinoland.
Well, what I mean, like, were they a guest as in, like, a resort guest is what I meant.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
They were a guest in terms of getting into the park.
Yeah, I get that, yeah. I just mean, like, well, it says Florida Man, so I'm assuming he's local.
Right.
So.
He's from, South Florida Man.
Okay.
Oh, I clicked through the link. He's got quite the mugshot.
I got you. So it's probably not the first time he's had something like this
happen. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of drug usage, apparently.
Yeah.
at Disney World, you know, we had the butter churner incident not that long ago, and now we've
Well, that's who the guy this. That the DEA agent was looking for. The guy on LSD. So
which story wins this week? Is it the DEA agent or the LSD man? Which one are we going to go with?
I think the DEA agent.
They're both teenagers. One of them looks like he's on meth, but he could just have a really bad case of acne. That's the DEA agent impersonator. I'm going to go with the LSD guy, though, because his mugshot is ridiculous. His hair is, like, straight out. And
he looks like he's on LSD, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he looks like...
Yeah, but I mean, that just seems totally ordinary. I give the DEA agent for creativity. Wait,
what? What? That's totally ordinary to get on LSD and go to Disney World and attack security guards?
John?
Well, that's what I would expect.
Is this going to be part of next week's trip report? Do we need to discuss something?
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the kind of thing I would expect out of somebody who's on LSD. I mean, the other guy was at least trying to be creative, I guess.
Right, okay.
It's not something you see every day with the other one.
Mm.
I guess you don't really see either of them every day, but you... okay, never mind. I'm digging a hole here.
Yes. Speaking of LSD, remember the Disneyland Paris guy that was like found naked running through a neighborhood like 2 days later or whatever?
And he had no idea how he got out of there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He jumped into the Rivers of America or something. Forgot what it was.
And then was found outside
like,
the park.
Like miles away. LSD apparently. And Disney have a history. Anyway.
That's what I'm saying. You're just proving my point. The LSD thing. I mean, we've been there, done that when it comes to Disney World, obviously.
That was in Paris, though. This is Florida, so.
It's Disney related. It's
I mean, it was Florida Man. This was Florida Man.
Right.
Florida Man.
So, John, we have a mission for you.
Oh, brother.
We're going to keep this segment alive, Stupid People at Disney World.
Okay.
And rather than relying on the news, we're going to need some firsthand accounts for next week.
Oh, stupid. Okay. I'll see what I can come up with.
Do you know how to get a hold of some LSD?
You don't have to do it yourself. Let's just observe. Oh, okay. Just tell us what you've observed while you were present at Disney World.
I can say the closest thing I'll get is I'll be listening to the Beatles.
Right. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Go ahead with that. Although we know that's not about LSD, right? Mm.
Nope, not at all. Anyway. It's about John Lennon's kid. He was drawing a picture.
Yeah. Anyway. It just so happened to be the same initials, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theory.
So moving on to our next topic. I don't really know how to transition out of that to this, yeah. But our next topic is talking about the new stuff. We had quite a lot of content drop this week to give us some previews of things that are coming. The first one is, of course, the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind coaster. Mm-hmm. We got a couple of pieces of information. The first was some test footage of folks riding in the Guardians of the Galaxy vehicle in an outdoor, bland, I guess, test coaster.
Yeah, I feel like we got a very small piece of what their ride experience will be. But anyway, let's go.
Yeah.
Right. But it looks like it's Space Mountain meets Omnimover, right?
Because sure.
It's got the spinning motion.
I'm going to say meets a spinning coaster, meets Primeval World.
Yeah, meets spinning Primeval coaster. World. Yeah.
Right. It's spin. But, you know, because there's going to be screens involved, I feel like that's pretty much what the tilting is about. And I feel like when it's all said and done, it'll definitely feel better. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty excited about it. It was an odd video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
And I think a lot of people might not get the context because people don't follow Disney as near as us. And if somebody stumbles across that video and they're like, that's what the coaster is going to look like?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Because it's just like a little kiddie coaster that they're riding the vehicle on to test it.
Right. Right. Yeah, the test video makes it look like Crush's coaster in Disneyland Paris. Because it spins, but this is going to have multiple cars on a train, and each car can spin in a different direction. So that looks pretty cool.
But to really understand what the track's going to look like, that's the second part of this story. Right. Mm-hmm. They also released a photo from the interior of the building of the current track, which isn't themed yet. It's just a bare track.
Yeah.
But what are our thoughts on that? Are we looking at this is a Space Mountain 2 Electric Boogaloo? I mean, what is this? That's what it sort of looks like.
I mean, it kind of looks like Rock and Roller Coaster as well in there without any, doesn't look like any inversions. Right. But a couple of things did stand out. One was there is a tunnel at the very bottom that you see. The top of the image has what looks like some screens maybe or some sort of lighting effect starting to be put into place. And then the top appears to be a brake run area or maybe a launch area. It's hard to tell.
I just feel like I just feel like when all is said and done and all the effects are put together, it's going to be great. That's my feeling. But
yeah,
does it scream Epcot to you?
Well, no. It's not certainly anything not. Like you've seen at Epcot thus far. No, but you're not going to be able to see all the stuff we're seeing right now either. When you do the, I'm pretty sure it's going to be relatively dark enough that you're not, or distracted enough, I guess, by whatever else is going around you that you're not going to be paying attention to what the actual track looks like. So
I wonder, you know, do you think they'll ever do, you know how they take the non-IP rides and do IP overlays? Do you think they'll ever get to the point where they take these IP rides and they do non-IP overlays?
Well, if they ever lose the rights to Marvel, I guess, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They might have to, but
I was trying to think if they ever did anything like that, and I can't think of anything.
Like, wouldn't you ride this if they had, like, a one-day or the, like, mashup edition, Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, Living with the Land edition?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
Were they going to grow vegetables in there?
No, it's just going to play the music, and you're going to get a speed look at, you know, here's where we grow the vegetables. Here's where we...
It's like here's the video we have section. The
well, if there's going to be screens like we're thinking, then I guess they could put anything on them.
Right.
There will be screens involved, but it's going to be an experience. That's totally what I expect out of Disney these days. I feel it's going to be an experience. Yeah. It's going to be on the level with Rise.
An immersive experience, right?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
an immersive yet expensive experience.
Yeah. And lasts maybe a minute and a half.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like this one will last longer than that.
That leads me to the next story. Immersive and expensive and cramped.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the other preview we got, which is the first look inside of an actual hotel room cabin for the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. Now, I just want to point out that they are building this Star Cruiser on land. It's not an actual cruise ship.
Yeah.
So you don't have to size the room like you do on a cruise ship.
Right.
Unless you're trying to be very accurate. But it appears
that they did.
Yeah.
You're trying to be immersive, right? So you got to have everything look like it's if it were on a ship.
I mean, I'm just saying, this thing's going to be, what, over $1,000 a night?
Well, probably. I don't think they're going to get away with that, but we'll see.
They will.
Yeah,
you think so?
They will.
I bet you it's going to be more than $1,000 a night to stay at this thing.
Yeah, right, well, because it's an experience. But it's not just the hotel room, essentially. It's...
Well, if it's $1,000 a night, it's an experience that I will be not doing. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, this is an experience I do not plan to do, even if it was half that price.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say I wouldn't do it once. I mean, I couldn't say I wouldn't, but we'll see. We'll see what they come up with.
There's these little cubby beds that who's supposed to, like, they're expecting a lot of kids here. Especially if I want to spend $1,000, I don't want to spend $1,000 for my kid to not do it, which is what would happen.
Well, I was going to say, if you have a child, not like a human child, but a child, the child, like a Yoda type creature child, he could fit in there easily.
Yeah, he could.
Well,
yeah.
A human child, I don't know.
He doesn't need to. He has his own floating bed.
I've got some pretty tall kids, so I don't know that they're going to fit in this tiny space.
Then they're like on top of the actual bed. It's like, you know, mommy and daddy are right there. And then if you look below the little TV-like display, there seems to be, hopefully that's storage, because there looks to be absolutely no storage.
It's probably a fold-out bed,
Probably a fold-out bed, so you can fit even more people in there. I mean, this thing is smaller than a Little Mermaid room, and that's sleeping six, so.
And that other, by the window, I guess you'd say, it looks like one of those, remember in Empire Strikes Back, where Leia hit the little button and the little bed thing came out, where Han, when he was being tortured, you know what I'm talking about, came out of the wall, the little, like, bed thing came out of the wall. Anyway, that's what that looks like. Or is that maybe just like a seat that you can sit on to look out the window?
Oh, okay. I see what you're talking about.
It looks like they have little seats tucked underneath it. That looks like it's your table.
It's a table. Oh, okay. So there you have it. So you can eat while you stare at a screen that makes it look like a window out of the side of the ship.
And how much you want to bet that TV on the wall, the first thing the kids are going to ask is, why can't we watch real TV?
Yeah, I wonder if you get some Earth satellite TV. You can. They probably will have to. You can watch some Mickey cartoons.
Let's just say it looks cool from like a Star Wars perspective, but it doesn't look like a room I want to stay in.
It looks like a value. Actually, it looks like a mermaid room. Actually, it's probably even smaller than the mermaid room.
Oh, it's probably about the size of a cabin on a cruise ship.
Right. It does look like that.
Not even the good cabins.
Doesn't look like there's a lot of room.
Yeah, more like the virtual porthole size. just over 100 square feet.
Yeah, and the size of the bathroom, which is not shown in any of the pictures, must be the width of the child beds, which isn't very big. So,
I think it's part of the experience. They're trying to make it like what you would be if you were on an actual Star Cruiser. So size of the room is probably comparable, I would imagine. I don't know. So.
But have you seen those videos online of like the scale of Star Wars ships and how massive they actually are?
Well,
like a Star Destroyer and all these other ships
If you're on a Star Destroyer, but you're not.
Well, okay, but it's still a fairly large cruiser if you see the images of it.
Even then, you remember Leia's quarters? I'm just saying. That didn't look very big. Well, she was a prisoner, but...
Well, yeah, that's a prison cell, not a...
Yeah.
This is basically what that is, though. You're the size of a prison cell. Is one of those little orbs going to come in and give you the vaccine, the COVID vaccine? Just kidding.
I was actually thinking when I saw this, I was like, okay, imagine like if, say, the Titanic was in space, right? And you were in third class. This is the room you would have. Right here.
So if the ship floods, you're the first one to go.
Right. Only if there's a big hole in this ship, you got a bigger problem than just water.
Right.
So just going back to a story that was from last year. So last year is when we got the first idea of pricing. Yeah. So the where I got that number was the estimated what they believe the pricing is going to be if you just have one person sleep in it for a 2-night, 3-day stay, which is what you get in this experience, will start at $3,300 for one person.
Yeah.
If you max out your cabin at 5 people, so that has got to be a pull-down bed because they say you can sleep 5.
Hmm.
A cabin with 5 passengers would cost $7,200 for a 2-night, 3-day stay.
I don't see people biting for that price. They're probably going to have to come off of it. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's big enough fans out there that will pay this.
I think it'll sell initially, but after a while, I think the demand is going
to
drop.
Yes, yeah, how are they going to sustain it?
Yeah.
There's not that many people that want to do this.
Yeah, especially if they don't change the experience enough for people to come back.
And I could be totally wrong. The experience that they offer otherwise might blow people away and they just
could
have
be
to
amazing.
Do it, you know,
right.
Yeah, it could be amazing. I could be wrong. Yeah.
Right. I have a feeling, though, with cutbacks and things, it's not going to be that amazing.
Mean, I've already cut back to being a moderate/value guest as it is. Yeah. So I don't know.
Shoot. I've even started staying off site a lot. So
yeah.
Off property, which I never would have done.
I've actually stayed off property before, but I've even considered doing like one of the vacation homes because that looks like a really good deal.
I don't know what you guys are doing. I just find somewhere to sleep in the parks.
Okay.
If they offered that, of course, that would be $1,000 a night too.
Oh, that'd be way more than that.
Well, Cinderella Castle suite, that's the only one that you can actually stay in
they
the
had
park.
Other, yeah, I'm going to say if they had other ones is what I mean.
Right. Like well, that's an interesting topic for a show segment is if you could sleep anywhere in the parks, where would it be?
Where could they put rooms in the parks, right, in each park?
Right.
So for our next segment, let's bring in Josh tomorrow. Josh, are you on the line?
He hung up.
Dang it. You know, we had him booked, but I guess we missed it. Let's go see what he said. He
window.
Was at... How do you say this acronym IAPA?
Mm-hmm.
Theme park, whatever, or whatever it is.
Right.
Type.
Convention thing.
Convention. Mm-hmm. He made a couple of announcements. One of them is that they are fast-tracking the re-theme for Splash Mountain to Princess and the Frog, as they are working on more inclusivity projects, and they're speeding up the work on this. So
that just guaranteed a check mark on me going on Splash Mountain this time.
Just to get it in one more time, huh?
Right. Yeah.
Because they may change it before the 50th, maybe?
It could change before I see it again, possibly. You never know. I mean,
I think now would be a good time to start on it because you've got less people in the parks and, you know.
Well, but that's another story.
Yeah, who knows? I'm sure. It's pretty packed, so I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so I wonder what the other inclusion projects are going to be, though.
Yeah, that definitely leaves a lot to the imagination there. We have talked, when this story first came out, we talked about potentially items on that list, some being like, what, Tom Sawyer Island, we said Jungle Cruise, what else did we say? Like,
what were
Country
they
Bear
do?
Jamboree, maybe, I don't know.
I guess maybe I don't remember, what did they say about Tom Sawyer Island?
Well, we didn't say anything in particular, but there are a few things about Native Americans in particular there, or the Rivers of America in general, you know, maybe.
Well, see, when I think I see about them talking about inclusion, I don't think they're talking about necessarily removing stuff. They're talking about maybe adding
stuff. No, that's not
stuff.
What I meant. Yeah, that's not what I meant. I meant changing it. That's all I meant.
I mean, they will be retheming Hall of Presidents shortly to be a lot more inclusive.
That's a good point.
Oh, I got to thinking... I'm like,
Peter Pan might be
They're pretty inclusive.
think we talked about that before.
What about the Rapunzel bathrooms? How are they going to retheme that to be more inclusive?
I think they need Small World to be more inclusive.
Yeah, that's like the most diverse attraction I have.
I didn't see like Antarctica represented.
Oh, well.
No, I don't know.
You need to see a polar bear?
I don't know. We had a list of attractions, and now I'm not remembering all the ones that we thought about, but...
I don't know. I think Country Bears is like a great, like, humor wise, just me personally, yeah. But
I mean, I agree with you, but I think there might be a few things they might try to change with that one, but mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the other story that he said is that he confirmed that they plan on bringing back all of the shows as soon as they can.
Right.
Even though they fired everybody that works right. in the shows.
Yeah.
Although I will say that as part of the, almost all those cast members that are on the shows were union cast members. And so when they are laying those folks off, they have a 1 year callback window where if they do bring the show back on, they get right of first refusal to come back.
Yeah.
If it's within that year period. So if the good news about COVID with the vaccines and all that works out, we might not lose too much of the quality of the show because we might get some of the performers back.
Yeah. I was thinking that too. I think a lot of them would come back anyway if given the opportunity.
I'm sticking with my original March prediction of, I'm not going to say all necessarily, but most of the restrictions and stuff being removed or laxed by March.
That's my thinking. I think March is whenever if everything goes well, a reasonable timeline that a vaccine will become more readily available, but I don't know if enough people will have had it to completely relax everything.
Well, it appears as though enough people have had the virus by then.
Well, yeah, by then we might, you know, have just burned on through it the way things are going. But I think I'll probably, I don't know, I think this is going to have permanent scarring in my brain. I will probably wear a mask every flu season for the rest of my life.
Oh, wow.
You think so?
Why not? Why not?
I mean, sure.
I don't think I've ever even had the flu. Ever. I don't think.
You probably
not that I don't recall I have anything that was... I mean, I think I would know. I mean, I would think.
It depends. I'm just thinking, like, wearing a mask is pretty normalized over in Asian cultures.
Mm-hmm.
They've had to deal with more of these than we have with SARS and MERS and a lot more scares like that. So wearing a mask during flu season is normalized. If you have any sort of illness, even if it's a mild, normal cold, it's pretty normalized to just wear a mask so that you don't spread it. Maybe I'll just do that in the winter going forward. Just, you know, wear a mask out in public.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will.
I've become a big believer in boosting your vitamin D. I really feel like that makes a difference. I recommend anyone take a supplement of at least 4,000 IU or UI.
IU. John is not a medical professional, so...
I am not a medical professional. I'm not saying that would cure you of anything, but everybody does need vitamin D, and it's one of the things we lack because we don't go outside as much anymore. We are indoor creatures.
I agree that vitamin D is useful. I don't think it's going to prevent you from getting COVID.
No, I didn't. That's why I said I didn't say it would prevent anything, but
yeah,
I think it will help you better navigate anything you contract.
Yeah. So, I mean, just being generally healthy is really good for surviving.
Right.
The other big news that Josh revealed is that we're going to get Remy's Ratatouille Adventure open eventually, but not this year.
Right.
It's not for 2020 because I guess they're just assuming if they open it in 2020, it's not going to work. It's going to break.
Yeah.
Because it's 2020. Yeah. So they're going to wait until 2021 to open this thing.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping for at least a soft opening whenever I go, but no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe I can find a way to get a sneak preview.
And now by the time this episode comes out, we may actually know the actual date. So I just wanted to put that out there in case... The date is announced tomorrow as we're recording this tomorrow. Because it's possible.
Remy's Ratatouille Adventure will be opening on...
blank.
I'm going to create myself my own little TWTM press badge and see if that works. Let's see.
Yeah, well, you'll be the next mugshot then.
Are you going to bring a BB gun and get high on LSD ahead of time?
I mean, I didn't have that idea until now.
If we can get the name of the podcast in the news story.
Ah, that's a good point. We'll totally, get a lot of clicks. Get a lot of clicks.
There's no such thing as bad press, remember?
Yeah, I think we've really tried to push that to its limits.
That's it. Yeah.
I'm going to go do like the whole Three Stooges episode where they had the press right. pull.
Yeah, right. Pull. That's a good one. That's taking it way back, John.
Yeah, way back.
Like really far back.
Hey, you know, slapstick still some of the best comedy. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Literally slapstick. But
Leslie Nielsen.
In their case.
You know.
So as we transition to our next story, yes. The next story. Mm. Topic that we're going to discuss is Disney's earnings call. Yeah. That is the earnings for their quarter four. Mm-hmm. The Walt Disney Company has mm-hmm. reported its first financial annual loss Eesh. In over 40 years.
That was not surprising.
Yeah. Fourth quarter losses were $710 million. Their full fiscal year, Disney recorded a net loss of $2.83 billion.
Yikes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you kind of expected it to happen at some point whenever you're not open. And at least there were some of the parks were not open.
Yeah. I bet they're really happy they launched Disney Plus when they did.
They yeah, are. Been, they actually, that yeah. I mean, this was beating the expectations. So this was good yeah. news.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
That's true. It, yeah. Even though it was a big loss, it still could have been worse.
Right.
Like I say, you know, one of the things I've noticed that I love about the way Disney's handling Disney Plus is that even though they have the rights to something through their acquisitions, like Home Alone, for instance, they're not making it exclusively to them. Like it's still available on Netflix right now. Like they're still mm-hmm. licensing it out on top of that instead of making it exclusive. I like that idea. I really do.
Yeah. Well, I guess the Fox properties, they are. I don't know about their other stuff, but.
No, there's some of their properties you can find on Netflix.
Well, I know they still had a deal with Netflix for some things that weren't on, but are you saying there's still stuff that's on both right now?
I can't give you the specific, but I'm pretty sure there was one I came across that's on both, yes.
Okay.
I believe.
Well, there's not a lot.
Now that I think about it, I believe it's Ralph Breaks the Internet. That was the one I noticed. Yeah.
So that's not bad. I mean, some things, but most, I would say, of the Disney stuff is pretty much exclusive to Disney Plus now, but.
But again, like I said, they're being smart about it because
yeah.
even though they have a very healthy subscription base,
right.
they having letting some of these properties, especially newer ones, out to other ones that other people are already on yeah. as well is useful.
Well, I can see like the Home Alone is smart to put out on others because, for example, the Charlie Brown holiday stuff, Apple got huge pushback on their having exclusivity of the Peanuts specials because of everybody was really annoyed that it wasn't on TV. So I think they even caved recently and it's going to be on PBS now as well. So they finally caved on that one. So well, exclusivity is not always the best option for streaming services. Yeah. So.
Oh, and speaking of the Home Alone thing, Disney basically only brought it back whenever it was season. It's like seasonal on Disney Plus, I guess.
Yeah.
Because they they had it during the Christmas season last year, and now they went away, and then now it's come back. So
yeah. Well, who's going to watch Home Alone during like the summer? Like, it doesn't make sense.
I think there's people that would, but they're getting their prime viewing time during the.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So it makes sense for them to do it the way they're doing it. I love the strategy is what I'm going with.
Yeah, I think it's helpful because they're not going to get huge amount of pushback on certain things being exclusive only, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
So just to look at how that breaks down a little bit more, the Park Experiences and Products division in the fourth quarter alone looks like they lost $1.1 billion.
Yikes.
But,
sounds like a lot if it was me.
Yeah. The revenue was down 61% for that quarter, 37% for the entire year.
Yeah. But on the bright side, they are weathering the storm rather nicely overall. I mean, there's some things they we wish they would have done differently or done better, but, you know.
Well, yeah, let's talk about the good news on their thing.
Yeah.
Disney Plus, 73 million subscribers already.
Yeah, that's huge.
In a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1 year.
Right.
They're basically number two, right, at this point.
Yeah. Behind Netflix?
Yeah, Netflix has 195.2 million subscribers. Disney is now second with 73.7.
Yeah, and if you're going to go comparison, Netflix has been around for how long now?
Yeah. Shoot, I've had Netflix since 2007, I think so.
Yeah, I had it since before then if you count the DVDs.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I guess you could say that Prime Video wins because they have 140 million people that have access, but you just get that if you buy Prime.
Yeah, that's kind of cheating.
Right, exactly, yeah. It's not like there's...
If that counts.
...specifically joining for that.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I've seen some great stuff for free on Prime, or included on Prime. Not really for free, but included on Prime. I've seen some pretty good stuff included on Prime.
Yeah, I have too.
I definitely got my money's worth of my Prime membership this year. I placed many orders with Amazon.
I think most people have. I mean, the rich get richer.
Yeah, anytime I go back and look at, you know how at the end of the year, because I have the Amazon credit card as well, so that's just how we do it. But, you know, when you go back and look at the end of the year, the dollar amount that's spent over the course of the year, yeah, I've definitely, every year I've made good use of Prime.
Yeah. I know that I surpassed my total from last year, like back in June, like my total number of orders, like...
I'd make an order a month or so, maybe one or two orders a month. Now it's several times a week. It's between grocery delivery, so whether that's the Whole Foods or the Fresh, which it annoys me that they have two different grocery delivery services. And it, depending on what you want, you have to search both of them to see if they have what you want.
Yeah.
And then just regular Amazon on top of that. I don't know. It's like Christmas every day. There's something new on the front porch.
Well, now you can get prescription drugs, apparently, through Amazon.
Oh, nice.
It's a new thing.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think there's some states you can order booze now, right?
It was supposed to be, but I still haven't seen how you can do that. But anyway,
we're off topic. Anyways, we are a bit off topic, but that's okay. Back to Walt Disney World. Also on the earnings call, our friend Bobby Chapek had a little bit of a tidbit that he said that the Walt Disney theme parks are currently, when he said this, not are going to, it wasn't, you know, is about to. It was currently operating at 35% capacity, increased from 25%. He did not say what day they made that increase.
It's been gradual, I bet. I think I made the comment. I'm sure they're increasing it over time as they can.
I bet it was before Jason went a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, that 35% capacity, you're going to notice it. I mean, there's a difference between theoretically everybody can social distance and people are social distancing. I mean, I think it's just going to get worse. Lots of people aren't wearing their mask properly and those kind of things. But the good news is, John, you're going and you should be overall pretty good. You should still wear your mask, but you probably can't get it again. So you should be fine.
I was going to say the odds are in my favor.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, you don't want to tempt fate too much.
So, well, you're going to get yelled at if you don't wear a mask.
Yeah, I mean, you're in
the park.
Like I said,
the only person in my party I'm a little bit concerned about wearing a mask. I don't know how they would do with a 2-year-old, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I don't
whether or not they know she's two or not. That's the thing. They probably have to make their own judgment call. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I went back in July, so it's so long ago. My son wasn't 3 yet; he was still 2, and sometimes they were like, "He needs a mask," and sometimes they weren't. So,
no,
it just depends. But of course, that was when they first reopened. So.
I don't really have one that fits her well. What I plan on doing is when I get to Caribbean Beach, surely they'll have them on sale there. Maybe I can find one that's a good size for her.
The masks are, they're churning out masks, man. Every week you see a new design of different kinds, and they're like churning them out quick now.
Well, I figured for her, I didn't need to bother going and spending the, like, getting four or however many at a time for her. So I figured I could just get one at the, actually at the own property.
But you would, ideally, you would want to wear a different one every day.
Yeah.
Right.
Because once you wear a mask, it's dirty just like anything else. And you don't want to really touch the outside of it. All those things. So usually one a day's a good target. So it wouldn't be a bad idea to get more than one.
Okay.
So dealing with the 35% capacity has required Disney to try to cram more guests onto these rides.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that they put up the plexiglass dividers on Rise of the Resistance, and we discussed that and how it caused glare and ruined some of the attraction. They've also now added the plexiglass dividers to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. But that is also having an interesting side effect in that at the end of the night, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is a walk-on now rather than having, you know, a super long line. So it might not be a top priority for you now, John. There seems to have really reduced the wait times drastically for that ride.
Hmm. Well, I'm still looking a little bit at what Touring Plans is predicting for the studios, and they're actually predicting it to be pretty high on certain days, I think. Well, actually, they were predicted Epcot to be pretty high on the day that I'm going, but I feel like Food and Wine wrapping up has something to do with that, not so much the attractions. If it's for Food and Wine, I'm not that concerned. You know, you see what I mean? But
what's the number they had it for?
They had it at 7 last I looked.
On what day of the week?
That was Saturday.
It probably will be worst at the end of the day. I mean, it builds there. It's not going to be bad if you get there at rope.
It's not going to open until 11.
Right.
However, it is open until 10. But we don't really have a ton of objectives there, truthfully. As long as we do the kid stuff that they can do and manage to get Frozen Ever After in, they'll be satisfied.
Well, just rope Frozen.
So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Just rope Frozen.
Especially if you come in from International Gateway.
Yeah. It would be optimal, yeah. And I'm right now I'm kind of leaning toward instead of having an actual meal that day, just you know, cherry pick the Food and Wine Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that might be the plan for that day. Tentative
plan. And you're going to do the LSD and take a dive into the lake?
You know, I was thinking when you were talking about Amazon a minute ago and the stuff that they offered, I was like, yeah, apparently you can get your LSD and get a free DEA badge with every order.
Yeah. So our last segment this evening that I want to discuss, the name of this topic is what broke Diz Twitter this week and what's keeping those vloggers busy. This might also become a recurring segment because it's these odd things that really just set the Twitterverse aflame, and the vloggers are willing to stay up all night just to see. The first was, this past week, we had a fireworks test at Magic Kingdom.
Yes, indeed.
Potentially for the 50th anniversary show. I was not able to see the fireworks. I know that there were some people live blogging it. I saw an interesting shot of bloggers at every staircase at the Contemporary. Like, they, you know, they were just on every balcony out there and trying to record these fireworks. Someone else that was there, I saw on Twitter, Polly Beach was pretty packed. So this is why they're not doing fireworks. But the word got out because they put out the statement, you know, we're going to test fireworks. Right. So everybody went.
Right. You put out anything, everyone's going to know about it within minutes on social media. Yeah. So.
How far away are we from like a giant retractable no-see green wall to block fireworks when they test them? I think that'll ever happen. Anyway.
I don't know. No. They might find some way to try to do it. Time.
No, but
if it gets bad enough, they will.
Yeah. I remember, you know, it was just last year in October when I was there, how they were testing the mini fireworks. If you recall, for the Christmas season last year.
Christmas party.
Yeah. And I was driving on the way to my training and happened to catch a little bit of it on the road. So it was early in the morning when they were testing it. I don't know. I can't see myself making a big deal over a fireworks test, but
Well, it's the first time fireworks have shot over Magic Kingdom since.
Yeah, that's true. There is that. Yeah.
So the question is when will the fireworks come back? I don't think it's coming back in 2020. Some people think they're trying to get them done for Christmas. I don't know.
Nah, probably not.
I initially held out hope for the Christmas season, or at least maybe New Year's is what I was thinking. Maybe New Year's Eve. I wouldn't totally throw that out the window. I mean, New Year's Eve might be potentially possible. I don't know how they would do it. I feel like they might try to put something together for New Year's Eve just because it's traditionally what people do on New Year's Eve. But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't either. I mean, it's one way.
Right. If the parks aren't open till midnight, then who are they going to shoot the fireworks for?
I think if they have the opportunity, they'll probably push for that. At least one of them. I think if they have the opportunity.
It's possible, but I just don't know.
Like I said, it's open at the moment still. I mean, we're, coming up on being about a month away. We're about, 6-7 weeks away.
Right. Epcot would make the most sense because you could line up people of 6 feet apart around the entire lagoon.
Yeah.
Of World Showcase. Yeah,
Epcot is definitely the optimal park for social distancing because you got a ton of space that you have to walk on top of that. So,
I mean, yes and no. I mean, depending on like the buildings you're in, you don't have a ton of space sometimes. But the paths, you have a lot of walking.
You have a lot more space. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have a lot more walking space than you do any other park.
Right. But if you're in some of the shops and stuff,
I know Animal Kingdom is the biggest. But the majority of that's taken up by, like, the safari and the wildlife exploration.
So that first story broke Twitterverse. This one, though, is really breaking Diz Twitter. Have you been to McDonald's yet to pick up any of the new Walt Disney World ride vehicle toys that are now available in Happy Meals? There are 10 ride vehicle toys that include Minnie on Dinosaur, Goofy on Expedition Everest, Donald riding Mad Tea Party, Pluto on the Jungle Cruise, Mickey on Tower of Terror, Daisy on Soarin' Around the World. You also have Minnie on Pirates of the Caribbean, Mickey on Mission Space, Mickey and Minnie on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and Conductor Goofy from Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Yeah.
And the question is, how many of these have people already posted on eBay for a ridiculous price?
Oh,
I saw a complete set for $65 already available.
Someone's already got a complete set. Oh, well.
Yeah. So, this has taken over the vlogger's storm. I saw one person that I follow has collected them all. People driving around. I know you mentioned you saw Adam the Woo doing it. Robin Lopez, the basketball player, is tweeting about driving around California trying to find these toys.
Yeah.
People are going bananas. They're pretty cool toys.
Yeah. I kind of want them myself, actually. I don't know why. I feel like a kid again where I used to call McDonald's like, which toy do you have? Do you have this one? Do you have that one?
You know, I was going to say, back in the day, my experience with the toys from McDonald's is I always got the same one.
Right.
Well, it seems like they're only shipping like two of them to every McDonald's. So you have to go to a bunch of McDonald's to get them all.
Yeah. You know, I do remember back when they had a closer relationship with Disney and they were doing a lot of Disney toys and things. I remember getting some of the, you remember the, you might remember this, Adam, they had the 25th anniversary glasses. I actually still have some of those.
The drinkware. Yeah. We still have some of those.
Still do.
You had to pay extra for those, right? Though. I think you had to a couple bucks extra or something.
I don't really remember. I remember getting them though.
I remember the Animal Kingdom one, the Epcot one. There was a Magic Kingdom one, of course. I assume there was a Studios one, but I don't remember if we had that one or not.
That gives you an idea of just how different McDonald's is with their giveaway stuff now. They used to actually give away glass
like actual glass.
Yeah.
I don't think they put that in a kid's meal.
No, though. Not in a kid's meal. Sorry. No, excuse me. Any glass you found in a kid's meal, that was like a mistake.
Right. Shattered glass in a kid's meal. Well, which one of these is your favorite? Have you seen which one looks the coolest? I want the Mickey and Minnie in the car from Runaway Railway and the Goofy actually on the train. But
I mean, those are the standard ones. That's what they're advertising. Is the whole theme of the thing is the Runaway Railway.
Runaway Railway, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Donald in the teacup is kind of cool, but it's
a lot of people were a little sour that Donald only got one ride.
Well, that's kind of how Donald would feel too, I guess. Who gets stuck with all the bad luck?
I think I want Goofy Expedition Everest. I want the Everest. I want the Everest one. And I want the Yeti to move on my toy.
Yeah, that is right. Is it Disco Yeti? You have to do a strobe light on it. Make it look like it's moving.
There's a couple of them that look pretty cool. I mean,
the Spaceship Earth one's okay. Yeah, I was going to say. Daisy on Soarin'.
Isn't, yeah, I was going to say, technically they're using Soarin', so it's like Soarin' over Epcot, I guess.
Right, yeah.
Soarin' over Spaceship Earth.
Tower of Terror one's okay, but it doesn't really look like Tower of Terror at all to me. Not too much. Like, I feel like they could have done a better job with that one.
They got Mickey Hep putting his hands
Jungle up. Jungle Cruising's kind of cute. And I thought that was Space Mountain, but it's actually Mission Space. The one with Mickey riding the rocket, it's actually Mission.
Like I say,
Space,
there's a number of those. Like, I think they could have been, you know, Astro Orbiter, the old one anyway.
Yeah, that too, right.
The
yeah,
classic exactly. one, anyway, when it was Star Jets. So there's actually two Runaway Railway toys then, right? Mm-hmm. The car and
right,
the
because train. This is a Runaway Railway promotion.
Yeah. I don't know. There's not one that really stands out to me. I mean, I kind of like
I want all, the but... Expedition Everest one. So that's the
who
one
is Expedition Everest again? I can't see it at the moment.
It's Goofy.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I would take that.
Goofy with the Yeti.
Goofy with the Yeti. Yeah, I would take that. That's
although, cool. As Adam the Woo pointed out in his video, the Yeti looks a lot like the one from Matterhorn, not the actual Yeti from Everest, well, but because it's all white. And
if it was going to look like the one from Everest, it should have a flashing light on it.
Right. Well, right. Should.
Should okay. So. Light.
Anyway,
toys are great, but I don't know. Maybe there should be a drum roll here, but I know everybody tuned in for this story. This was quite literally the biggest story of the week. Our last mm-hmm. story of the night.
This is Adam's favorite
people
story.
Were going bananas over this. Every vlogger had to go and ride this ride and get a video of this. Everyone was tweeting at Disney about this. This is what broke Diz Twitter. This is what kept the vloggers busy. Figment, the animatronic, is now wearing a themed Imagination Pavilion Christmas sweater on Journey into Imagination in Epcot. And people are losing it over this.
Yeah.
Are they selling said sweater? Because they
that was
be.
One of the big threads is people were adding Disney saying, I want to buy this sweater at Shop Disney. And they're like, we're looking into it. And they probably have someone in the back stitching those suckers up right now.
Yeah.
Right. Anything they could sell, I'm sure.
Won't be long before someone on LSD hops off and tries to take it off of Figment. So.
Yeah, right. That'll fit my kid.
Yeah, this was such a buzz that the wait times went from 5 minutes all the way up to 7. I mean.
Right, sure.
Well, I saw one person posted a 30-minute wait at one point. I mean, people are nuts over this thing. Christmas sweater.
If that's
this is the first
case,
time they've changed anything on this ride in forever, and people are going bananas.
I was
going
to say.
What exactly is Christmassy about it, though? I'm not seeing a lot of Christmas on it.
It's got like snowflakes and stuff on it.
It's got the
which makes it's a winter sweater.
Doesn't that's got the Imagination or the original Imagination emblem sort of on it, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So that's probably
I see the pyramids, but
the best take I heard about this is someone said, let's just be clear. What happened is that Figment broke or caught fire or something and they slapped this sweater on it to hide it.
And then, by accident, they created something that's going to make them even more money. So,
he's
happy accident.
He's still a la Donald Duck. He's still not wearing any pants. So, I mean,
right?
Yeah, I mean,
reminds me of that Mickey short.
If they realize they can get this much hype over just a sweater, just think about what the next refurbs are going to look like.
Yeah.
So, if you said the wait time was up to 30 minutes, that's like the highest it's been in like 20 years, probably. I mean, this is really, that's got
to
be a
pain. They're like, that's all we had to do was put a sweater on Figment? Yeah. And the wait time went up.
It's like, next I could just do a screenshot of Dreamfinder in there, and that would probably up the wait time.
Well, they're going to digitally put a sweater on Eric Idle's video in this ride. It's like, he's got a sweater too. Wait a minute.
I
don't think people care about Eric Idle.
Are you going to ride this so you can see the sweater?
Well, the odds are that the wait time will be low.
You might not want to rip Frozen. Frozen's probably going to have no wait. This is where the...
Right. Yeah. I think if I want to do this ride, then I'll definitely have the opportunity. I'm just saying.
Right. Well, leave it to the people on Etsy, because they've already, it's already on Etsy before Disney, of course, can get it. You can get this sweater on Etsy right now.
You know what I always think of every time I go on there? I wonder how many people actually get the red tennis shoe reference. I just wonder how many people actually still remember that.
I doubt a lot of people do, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's
because the jacket's in there too.
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of like an Easter egg, really.
Yeah.
And they kind of have some Easter eggs in the queue as well. Like they have Dean Higgins on a door, you know.
You're right. Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, different professors and stuff. But they're probably going to, that'll be the first thing that they throw out whenever they do a
probably. Refurb. No one remembers this movie, even though it is on Disney Plus.
Or the Disney executives will be like, why is there a random pair of shoes in here? Throw these out. Some cast member left their shoes in here.
JPEG might think that.
Yeah, he probably would.
I don't know. He pays attention to IP, even old IP. So.
Sure.
Oh, Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby JPEG.
That reminds me, why is it still that the only movie out of the Dexter Riley collection they don't have on Disney Plus is Now You See Him, Now You Don't? They don't have that one on there. And that's like one of the best ones, in my opinion. I don't understand that.
I don't know. Is there some sort of copyrighted music or some sort of material in there that they have to get extra rights to?
I don't know. I haven't really dug into it. But, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, why do you show The Computer Who Wore Tennis Shoes and The World's Strongest Man and not the one in the middle? Not Now You See Him, Now You Don't.
I'm sure at some point they will.
Yeah. Like I said, Now You See Him, Now You Don't was my favorite one. That was the best one. The invisibility formula. Anyway.
All right. So, that concludes our news and rumors segment for today. We've already hit on Mandalorian, so I think that's pretty much an episode. What you can expect next week is John will be hosting and will be recounting his LSD trip through Disney World.
If by LSD you mean lazy...
Skyliner...
Skyliner, lazy. Lazy Skyliner day. There you go.
Lazy Skyliner Disney trip.
Yeah, Lazy Skyliner Disney. Because that's exactly what I plan on this one being. This is going to be the most like laid back trip, like don't have to be anywhere type trip that I've ever taken probably in quite some time.
It's going to change the way you Disney from now on.
Enjoy that pool. Enjoy Banana Cabana.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm really, the part I'm looking forward to the most, now don't get me wrong, I do have a couple of objectives because I haven't done Runaway Railway or Rise, so I have those two objectives, but I mean, other than that, I mean, we've already done everything else. We will have fun doing what we can, and I just want to enjoy Caribbean Beach, and I'm actually looking forward to riding the Skyliner probably more than anything, anything there right this minute. I just love
this
taking
that
trip.
This will be the rest of your family's first time on the Skyliner.
It will. Yeah, I'm really hoping they feel the same way. But yeah, it was just, I enjoyed, like, while I was there, just taking those trips on Skyliner and basically coming back. I mean, it was just fun. It was a relaxing, enjoyable ride. It's a ride in itself.
Well, if you want to listen to that, though, tune in next week. In the meantime, though, there's lots of other things you can do to engage with us. You can find us. You can buy stuff from us, all sorts of things. How do you do all that?
Well, I mean, you can find us on social media through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, those channels. That is all at TWTM Podcast. Hopefully, I'll have a couple of things to add to Instagram in particular over this trip. And hopefully, the YouTube channel eventually. I mean, it might take a little editing in between, but we do have a YouTube channel as well if you want to go check that out. Most of it's classic material at the moment. We have a Spreadshirt store that you can buy your exclusive TWTM merchandise, including the Rafts Are a Ride shirt. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast.
And we have a website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can visit there to see links to all those things and more. You can also email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com.
So, for John and Adam, this is Jason. And this has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you'll join us on our next trip.
I gotta go to McDonald's right now.